moderators, ladies and gentlemen, and honorable opponents. Again, I'm happy to stand before you in defense of what I believe honestly, sincerely to be the truth. We're not discussing water baptism. We're only discussing one thought. He is affirming that water baptism is the condition of pardon for an alien sinner. I deny not water baptism, but that it is the condition of remission of sin for an alien sinner. You know, the first 20 minutes of his message was a real nice repetition of last night. About the only difference, he used the word last evening. Outside of that, the first 20 minutes was play the tape, and you'll find it almost verbatim for the first 20 minutes of last night. He closed out tonight by saying that the blood of Christ was shed for remission of sins. The strong enthusiasm of the word for is always pointing to the future. And I emphasize the fact from the Bible, from the dictionary, and the Greek, that it points forward and backward. And did you hear his last statement? The blood of Christ was shed for the remission of sins. Does that mean that his blood did not affect anybody from the Calvary on back, but only the ones this side the cross can be saved? No. They have remission of sins through the blood of Christ from Adam to the thief on the cross. Backward to them, and forward from the cross until the last soul is saved. Amen. Now I'm going to use the second chapter of Acts, and that's why he placed so much emphasis. I didn't tell you what the dictionary all it has said, but what I did say is in the Bible, or in the dictionary. And what I said was in harmony with the doctrine of the Bible relative to remission of sins. I have asked him to show you one place where one sinner went down into the waters of baptism and came up a Christian. This he has not done, he will not do, because it cannot be done. But I can give you any number that was saved from past committed sin before water baptism, before Pentecost, and after. If I can't do that, I'll stand up publicly and apologize and ask you to forgive me. Now, the word for in the Webster, Deborah says because of, for, and as, and inasmuch, results of, and because of. The Greek word for is no doubt, because of, seeing truly. Now, here's the concordance, you look at it. He doesn't deny the authenticity of Strong's. The whole world accepts it. Then the word he wants me to deal with is eyes. The reason why? The word for the English is translated from different Hebrew words. Gar and eyes in particular. And it's generally agreed that the word for in Acts 2.38 is from the Greek word E-I-S, pronounced in English I-C-E-I-S. And I challenge you to come and look at it. It's lying here. And it's a result. And he acknowledged the word backward was there and then turned around and tried to deny it. And it points forward or backward. It's used unto. Now let me show you where the Holy Ghost, under John spoke under the inspiration. In Matthew 3:11, John said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance." Does that mean he baptized them first and after that they repented? No. It's pointing backward. They repent, and then I baptize them. Now you can see that. That's the Holy Ghost saying that, not Albert Bass. Matthew 3:11. Read it for yourself. In Acts 2:15, we have the word "for" and the word "seeing." The people thought the disciples were drunk, and Peter said, "For these are not drunk as you suppose, seeing, knowing, understanding, or because it's the third hour of the day." In Acts 2:39, "For, because the promise of the Holy Ghost is for you." Acts 10:4-6, "They received the Holy Ghost, for we heard them speak with tongues." Because we heard them speak with tongues. Seeing, they're speaking with tongues. Now that's the definition of the word "eyes." And then the Holy Spirit usage of the word "for." Then to these people that Peter was preaching to there on the day of Pentecost, he said, "They that gladly received the word were baptized. The same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Now I want you to notice they received the word. Now there's a difference in hearing the word and receiving it. You may hear it and not receive it, but when you hear it and receive it, and they receive it to the extent they rejoiced and was happy about it. Now, what does it mean to receive the word? What is the word? The minister quoted again tonight, James 1:24. "Receive with meekness," receive with meekness "the word of God, which is able to save your soul." So on the day of Pentecost, these 3,000 received the word of God, which was able to save their soul. Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you are life, they're spirit." Romans 1:16, "The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to believers." Acts 11:14, "He'll tell thee words, words whereby thou shalt be saved." So they receive the word of God. They receive life. They receive the Spirit. They receive Christ, for the word was made flesh. He said, "They that receive my word and believe in me shall never die." Now the word "gladly." They didn't receive it with a long face, but they received it with joyful. And the word "gladly" here, there's a joyful and arousing happiness and well-pleased. Then it said, "And there were added unto them," them that's referring to the church, "about 3,000 souls that same day." Now the word "join," and look at that in the Webster if you want to, neighbor, means "add" means to join, and the word "join" means to add. That very day, 3,000 souls received the word of God shouted about it and joined the church. Now he'll get up here and say, Mr. Bud said. But the apostle said, they that gladly received the word, gladly received the word, the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. But it does not say the same day they were baptized. They that gladly received the word were baptized, but they received the word and shouted about it before. The baptism came after receiving the word of God and after the shouting, and I don't know how long after, neither is my opponent. But there that day they received the word and shouted about it and united with the church. And when they were baptized, I do not know, neither does your opponent. That's something new to someone. I see you checking. It's verse 41. Now we want to look at this word Mark 16 again. We've heard so much about that, and the first night, I suppose he used it 50 times in all the 2 hours, and tonight he used it so many times he didn't count them all. But I want you to look first of all at the word believeth, not believe and believed, but believeth, E-T-H. This word, it gives a Strong's exhaustive concordance, from the Greek is P-I-S-T-I-S, pistis. Means to put trust in, to keep on believing, constancy, not subject to change form, to continue going on without interruption, shall be saved. Now the believer, the baptized believer, who keeps on believing, going forward without being changed and without any interruption or deviation from anything the gospel teaches, shall be saved. Now look at the word shall in Webster. The word shall means future, a time yet to come, a future event. The baptized believer, he keeps on believing, will not be changed from anything the Bible teaches, going on without interruption. At some time yet to come, some great future event shall be saved. Shall be. Now I want to call your attention to several scriptures by the word saved, and all of them referring to eternal salvation, and none of them referring to salvation from past sins. Number one is Mark 16, shall be saved, some future event. Matthew 12:24-13 tells us when that event will be. He that endureth unto the end shall be saved. Mark 13:13, he that endureth unto the end shall be saved. Acts 15:9, Peter talking to the council there about the Gentiles' conversion. Acts 15:9, we believe that we shall be saved even as they. They shall, and we shall. Yet they were all saved from past committed sins. He said here, we believe that we shall be saved. Future salvation. In Romans 5:9, shall be saved from wrath. 1 Corinthians 1:21, it pleases God for the foolishness of preaching to save who? Them that believe. Believers are saved from past sin. It pleases God that these believers have the ministry of the gospel in order to be finally saved from the wrath and the judgment to come. In 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, 8 souls were saved by water. Not from sin, by water, but from the flood, the wrath, and the judgment of God, by water. They were saved from past committed sins before they got on the ark, and they were saved by grace through faith. Hebrews 11:7, Noah became the heir of righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. How did he do that? He heard the warning, he moved with fear. And God said in Genesis 6:8, he found grace. So he found the grace of God. Why? Because he believed the message, moved out with fear, and became righteous. Now, I want you to remember this, friends. Jot this down in the back of your mind. Genesis 7:1. God said, nor come thou into the ark. Why? For in thee have I found righteous. When did God find him righteous? Before he got on the ark. He had remission of sins by grace through faith. He did not get on the ark to save a sinner. He got on the ark to save a saved man from the wrath and the judgment to come. Then the Apostle Peter said, the like figure whereunto baptism doth also now, M-O-W, and I don't want to change that W to a T, Brother Sutton, because the very next word is M-O-T. I think you knew that. Now, what does the like figure mean? Like Lot was saved, and Noah was saved. How was he saved? By grace, through faith, from sin. How was he saved from the judgment to come? By obeying and getting on the ark. The like figure, now, in 1965, believe the message of God, move out the fear, find grace on God's part, and become righteous. Then after that, be baptized in answer to good conscience toward God. Now the word not, there, friends, I quoted us there, and Peter knew there would be men like my opponent, like some of you dear friends, lacking in faith, have to have something tangible you can see and touch with your flesh. He said, not, are you listening now? Not for putting away the filth of the flesh. Now here is the, I'll have to get my opponent to pronounce this Greek word here for filth, but it's right here, you can look at it. It's only used in the Bible, in the Bible one time. And from this word filth, G-A-R-H-R-O-O-P-O-S, means moral depravity. 2 Corinthians 7:1, filthiness is from M-O-I-O-O-M-O-S, and the definition is stain, immorality. It corresponds with Galatians 5:19. That Paul said the works of the flesh are the filth of the flesh, the transgressions, the wrongdoings. Now let me quote it verbatim. Galatians 5 and 19, the works of the flesh are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and such like. And Peter said, don't anybody misunderstand me. Water won't put this away. Well, what will put it away? In the 10th chapter of Hebrews, he said, have your conscience purged. While our conscience purged, the 9th chapter, the conscience washed with the blood of Jesus Christ. So these sins are washed out of our life by and only by the powerful, immaculate blood of Jesus Christ. The discussion was open tonight with power and the blood. I wonder how much. Almost enough to wash sin, but you must put a little water in it to make it powerful enough to get rid of your transgressions. But that isn't according to the scripture, friends. That isn't according to God's word. Now here's Acts. He mentioned this again tonight. Acts 22, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now this word calling is in the Bible different time, but always translated from a different Hebrew word with a Greek word with exception two places. And in this place where Paul was told to wash away his sins, calling on the name of the Lord, and the other place is in Acts 7 where Stephen, calling on the Lord, said, O Lord, lay not, so forth, so on, receive my spirit. All other places the word calling is translated from another Greek word, but except this one. And I'm sorry, a while ago when I said something about pronouncing this word, this is the one, Mr. Moderator, I need your help on. This Greek word is one that I couldn't pronounce. It took a real good Greek scholar to pronounce this, but this is the way Dr. Strong said this word, Greek word calling, is E-P-E-E-K-A-L-E-H-O-N-A-C-H-E-E. He gives the next definition, to call upon, to aid in worshiping, to make a definite decision, testimony, or action. Now, he mentions again in Acts 2:21 and Romans 10:13, he told you that calling on God included water baptism. Well, here's what Webster said the word call. Let me quote the two texts first. Acts 2:21, Romans 10:13, exactly alike. The inspired apostle Peter and Paul the apostle to the Gentiles said these words, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Webster says the word call is to say in a loud tone, to invoke, to shout aloud, to call upon God for help or for a blessing. Now, I want to point out to you, Brother Sutton, some people in Christ before water baptism. Now, notice I didn't say before baptism. I said before water baptism. Please jot this down in your mind, friends. 1 John 3:24 and 1 John 4:13, we have these words. Listen, we know that we are in Him and He in us because He hath given us His Spirit. How do we know we're in Christ? Our friends, you can't lop that off. The beloved Apostle John said, we know that we're in Him and He is in us because, for, seeing, knowing, He hath given us His Spirit. Turn now to the 10th chapter of Acts, the household of Cornelius. The Bible said the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. For, or because, seeing, knowing, they spake with tongues and prophesied. Then the great apostle Peter, who said, repent and be baptized for remission of sins, said also in Acts 10:48, who can forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Now listen, they were in Christ. How do you know? How do you know? John said they knew it because He had given them His Spirit. There they had the Holy Spirit. They were in Christ. Christ in them, and yet had not been baptized in water. Oh, they'd been baptized, but not water. How were they baptized? In Christ. Before water baptism. And Ephesians 4, where it said there's one baptism. If your minister has never used this, I want to congratulate him, the phrase I'm fixing to use. Here's the way the Church of Christ ministers use this in the pulpit and over the radio. Ephesians 4, there is one baptism. They quote it right, then they come back with a twist. So then, since there is just one baptism, but the Bible doesn't say so then there is just one baptism. In that same scripture, brethren, he said, as one Lord. You know the thing that converted 3,000 Jews on the day of Pentecost? They were one God Jews. Not Jesus only, Jehovah only. And Peter quoted, put this down the back of your mind, in Peter's powerful and mighty sermon, he quoted from Psalms 110, verse 1. Look at it. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand till I make thy foes thy footstool. Now listen, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. They heard what? That their King David made mention of two lords. David said, here's what he was saying, the Lord Jehovah said unto my Lord Jesus, come on up, son, and sit down on the right hand. When these Jews were convinced by their own Bible that there were two lords in the one lordship, they were pricked in their heart and ready to be baptized in His name, which means they have Jehovah God the Father, now they're willing to accept God the Son. Amen. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand, till I make thy foes thy footstool. Now, I told you I could tell you a lot of places that were saved before water baptism. In Mark 2, Jesus said to a sinner, thy sins be forgiven thee. There were some church people there that didn't believe in salvation by faith, thought they had to be circumcised or baptized or something. So he's a blasphemer. But Jesus forgave his sin. In Luke 7, a mourning, weeping, penitent, believing woman. He said, woman, thy sins were many, were forgiven, remitted, blotted out. Luke 18 and 42, blind Bartimaeus, Jesus said, by faith, H-A-T-H, hath, not shall, but hath saved thee. Zacchaeus, who climbed the sycamore tree, salvation came to his house that day. Luke 23, the thief on the cross confessed the Lord, his guilt, and the resurrection and the kingdom to come. And Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Acts 10, they received the Holy Ghost before water baptism. And no sinner has ever received the Holy Ghost, but Jesus said, I'll give you another comfort to whom the world cannot receive. You've got to be born out of the world into the kingdom before you can become eligible for this wonderful, glorious baptism of the Spirit. Someone thinks that we teach the new birth is the baptism. No, in the new birth, the Spirit receives you out of darkness into light. But in the baptism, you receive the Holy Ghost into your body, and he covers and buries your soul, and your life is hid with Christ in God.
Let's all stand and stretch for a moment while they rewind the recorders or whatever they have to do.